Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Right now, you're the only one on.
Okay. I hope they remembered to change their time.
That's always a problem one this week.
Yeah, first time.
Usually, with the winter, we fall back, correct?
Yes, that's an extra hour of sleep. The only bad
That's
part
true.
is waiting for 9 o'clock to come around. You know, it gets dark at 5, so you feel like you need to go to bed at 7 or 8. Oh,
I believe somebody else just came on.
I heard a click.
Good afternoon. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa.
Okay, let me mute.
Anabakoa. Yudula Chimin Sa Tati Serura Alfekimo Yutaf Sadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Nora Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehutcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yudkashin Barhem Tacharem Rachame Tamid Gamle Betet Resh Saditat Gimel Chasin Kadosh Biro Tufa Nael Adatah Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Ge Lamcha Penei Zofre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamet Bezayan Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatziakatenu Yodeata Lupo Shin Kufav Sadiyuta. We have brought the energy of creation into our location. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Virav Chesed Ve'emet. Notzer chesed la'alafim, nosea on wafesha, v'chata'av v'nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, a specific verse in Parashat Yitro. It is Pasuk 29, and we will start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishtinte Bitzilu Urchimu Chilu Chilu Urchimu Le'ata L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe Be'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'sof Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konaneh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konanehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nan Bekucha Barichu Koma Diaved Le'ela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Belay lach bila bialma divae barnash. Ladach yalea mine yaulon haga. Beyakalana dehakulu ovada. Dikshot inun wikolai spirit bialma. The energy of the year 5780. Our current year has two components, a revealed component, which is compensation, and a concealed component, which is sheker. In order to reveal the energy of sheker so that we can unite and thus receive our compensation through the goodness of Hashem, which is the word sheker, the word is shefa. God forbid a sheker. Sheker means a lie. Shefa is the goodness of Hashem. We reveal the goodness of Hashem. We reveal the shefa by studying certain verses from the Tanakh that connect to this energy. Today we will study famous verse we will study today. It is Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Mi kamocha ba'elim Hashem, mi kamocha nedar ba'kodesh, no ra tehilot osefele. The translation, who is like unto thee, Hashem, among the mighty? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. We study one verse from the Tanakh. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom leami leYisrael untati v'shakan taftav v'lo yirgaz. Od willo yosifu, v'nei avla la'anoto ba'asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God by using the tool to say each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wa yo la yo sayote ala me me he shi la la he aka aka he ta he za yo ala da la awa he he ya yo za la me be he he re yo he ko me la awa ka la yo la wa wa fe he la. la, lu la ha, yo yo yo, me la he, se se wa, nu ta he, ha he a a, yo re ta, she a he, re yo yo, a wa me, la ka be, wa she re, yo he wa, la he he, ta wa ko, me nu da. Anu yo he ame re he a yo yo za hey 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa danu yo he she she ame me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo. Nu me me yo yo la he re he me sa re wa me be yo he he au nu wa me se yo ga me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me he he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me. La wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he te se wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da. Anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la re yo a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo nu ko me yo re la he me te. Me zare, wa me he be yo a he a la wa me zayo, da he be me kako a la a he se wa, re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day. I believe it's the fourth day of Cheshvan. No, it's the fifth day of Cheshvan. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, Rabbi Moshe Berdogo, Ben Rabbi Avraham, Rabbi Meir Helfrin, Rabbi Avraham Yosef Rice, Rabbi Avraham Halevi Zions, those Tzaddikim who chose to leave this evening, the sixth day of Cheshvan, which starts at sundown tonight. Rabbi Shlomo David Yehoshua Weinberg of Slonim, Rabbi Yehuda Chachasid, and Rabbi Yeshiel Menachem. We will now connect to the Ani meditation. Malchut. Yo, Ahimi, Wayo, hey. Yo, Ahimi, Wayo, hey. Yo, Ahimi, Wayo, hey. Yusod. You, Ahuni, Wuyo, who. You, Ahuni, Wuyo, who. You, Ahuni, Wuyo, who. Hold. You, Ahuni, Wuyo, who. You, Ahuni, Wuyo, who. You, Ahuni, Wuyo, who. Netzach. E, Ahini, Wuyo, he. E, Ahini, Wuyo, he. E, Ahini, Wuyo, he. Tiferet. Yo, Ahuni, Wuyo, ho. Yo, Ahuni, Wuyo, ho. Yo, Ahuni, Wuyo, ho. Yo, Ahuni, Wuyo, ho. Gevura. Yeah, ni wiyo. Yeah, ni wiyo. Yeah, ni wiyo. Chesed. Yeah, ni wiyo he. Yeah, ni wiyo he. Yeah, ni wiyo he. Dina. Yeah, ni wiyo he. Yeah, ni wiyo he. Yea, ahini wayo he. Achba. Ya ahani wayo ha. Ya ahani wayo ha. Ya ahani wayo ha. Getter. Ya ahani wayo ha. Ya ahani wayo ha. Ya ahani wayo ha. We will now connect to the Esther Dibrot. Vaydaber Elohim et kol ha-divarim ha-eile lemon. Anochi Hashem Elohecha. Asher hoseticha me'eretz Mitzrayim, mi'beit avadim, lo yihye lecha Elohim acherim. Al panai lo ta'ase lecha, pesel v'kol tamuna, asher b'shamayim. Mi ma'al wi asher ba'aretz mi tachat wa asher ba'mayim. Mi tachat la'aretz lo tishtachawe lachem. Wilo ta'avdem ki anochi Hashem Elohecha el kana poked awom. Avot al banim, al shileshim, we al ribeim, l'shonai yosef esed la'alafim, le'ohavai u'shomrei, mitzvotai lo tisa, et shem Hashem Elohecha. La shav ki lo yiknaker Hashem et asher yisa et shemo la shav zachor et yom hashabbat l'kad shoshet yamim ta'avod. We asita komelachtecha, we yom hashvi shabbat lashem Elohecha. Lo tase komelacha, ata uvimcha, uvitecha, עבדך ויאמתך ופנתך וגרך אשר בשעריך. כי ששת ימים עשה השם את השמיים ואת הארץ, את הים ואת כל אשר בם, וינח ביום השביעי. על כן ברך השם את יום השבת, ויקדשהו, כבד את אביך ואת אמך למען יאריקום. ימיך על האדמה אשר השם אלוהיך נותן לך, לא תרצח, לא תנאף, לא תגנוב, לא תענה ברעך, את שקר לא תחמוד, בית רעך לא תחמוד, אשת רעך. ועבדו ויאמתו ושורך וחמורו, וכל אשר לרעך. We will now connect to the Ani meditation. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey. Yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey, yud, yud hey, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey, yud, yud hey, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey. We will now connect to the Shema Yisrael, the unity prayer. And we will do so by covering our eyes, leaning slightly to the left, and saying together, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Say the Abridge Kaddish, and which we use as an elevator to rise to the level of our class today.
Yitgadal v'yitgadash shemei rabba, and we all say Amen. V'yalma divra kirute v'yam lich malchute v'chayecho neviyomecho uv'chaye. Bekol Beit Yisrael, Ba'agala v'izman karim, Yitbarak v'yishtabach, V'yitpa'ar v'yidromam, V'yitnase v'yitadar, V'yitale v'yitalal, Shemei dekutcha, Leila min kol birkata, V'shirata tushbechata, Benehemata da'amiran bi'alma. Yehe shlama rabba min shamaya. V'chaim aleinu bi'al kol Yisrael. Ve'imru amen. Ose shalom bimromav. Hu yase shalom aleinu. We all call Yisrael, Ve'imru Amen. class today is the first class in teaching the book of Job, Sefer Job, or Sefer Yob. You will find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in the eighth row and the right-hand column. The link there says the birth pangs of Mashiach, Heavenly Mashiach. When the landing page opens up, scroll down to the class number 6, and you will find the book of Job, the introduction, including chapters 1 and 2. But above that, you'll have the book of Job that's on the Machon Mamre website, which has both the English and the Hebrew for the book of Job. We will start with the introduction. And we will start with the Lashem Yehud, because we grounded the energy of our earlier Lashem Yehud when we said the Baruch Shem in the Shema. Lashem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkite Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Leakta Lashem Yudhe Bavavhe Beyehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Koneh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konehu. The book of Job is the most difficult book within the books of the Torah to make sense of, to understand, to comprehend. This is because religion, as opposed to spirituality, being man-made, teaches morality. The basic morality taught in Judaism is to be good, to follow the mitzvot and to do the mitzvot, and your life will be pleasant, without chaos, or at the least better than those who do not do the mitzvot. What makes the book of Job so difficult is that it is a story of a man who follows and does the mitzvot, yet receives the most devastating and unrelenting chaos, starting with the destruction of his family and his resources, followed by a series of unrelenting illnesses. It actually appears that Hashem is capricious, except Job is to be kept alive. The attempts to answer the question, why do good people suffer? These answers run the full gamut throughout the centuries. Even the book itself poses some answers, and these will be discussed as they are presented within the book. Other answers are presented here, although it is up to each person to determine the answer for themselves. The Zohar provides an explanation to the question by positing that Job is a royal advisor to Pharaoh. As an advisor to Pharaoh, Job told Pharaoh to kill the newborn males of the children of Israel to prevent the Redeemer from achieving the goal of the redemption. Thus, Job's suffering is balancing the suffering he caused to others, especially the children of Israel. This Zohar is within the parasha Beshalach. This teaching is nida keneged nida, measure for measure, which is the phrase that is used as a translation into English as the word karma. Other answers. Job is a Noahide and not Jewish, and therefore by definition is not righteous, not responsible for the mitzvot, other than the seven Noahide mitzvot. Thus the question does not need to be answered. Job's suffering is beyond the understanding of man and is left to Hashem. Even so, it will not happen to you. Another answer is Job is only righteous in his own sense of who he is. Thus, this ego of Job needs this suffering to remove it from the person of Job. Another explanation is that there is no human Job, just a metaphysical story. There are many other answers, as we will document as our study continues. Our study will include a reading and commentary of the original Hebrew, plus an English translation. And here is a link to our reading, which is on the Mechon Mamre website. Here is a different commentary. The big picture of Job is that there was a man who was, in one sense, blameless in God's sight. He was leading a basically upright life, and there is a reality called Satan who challenges God, that this man is not as good as he thinks he is. God gives Satan permission to attack Job, and he does so first through his family and his possessions, and then through sickness. And I am adding, this discussion does not explain why Hashem draws Satan's attention to Job. The Zohar explanation above relates as a shepherd giving a scapegoat to the wolf while he moves the flock to safety. Then there is Job's long illness, and his three friends come. At first they are quiet and offer some counsel, but then they begin to launch into an attack on Job that takes a true theology and distorts it all out of proportion. Job has about 29 chapters of misapplied theology in the middle of the book. It's very hard to navigate your way through those chapters and determine what is true and what is not, because these guys are mixing up truth and falsehood all over the place. I think you're supposed to get the big picture that God was not happy with these three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And when Elihu shows up, I believe he begins to set it right. Finally, God speaks, and he sets it completely right. Then there is the last chapter that puts the closure on the whole thing. There it says that God brought all of this upon Job, and Job proves in the end to be a better man than these other men, even though Job himself sinned and had to repent in dust and ashes. The lesson from the big book of Job is one, that God is sovereign over all our suffering. Two, he permits Satan to come into our lives and do horrible things to us. Three, he means to prove our faith and purify our lives through it, through the suffering. Four, and in the end he will make it good, either in this life or in the life that is coming. And five, Satan does not have the last word in the lives of God's people. I am adding, ultimately, suffering and blessing come from the boomerang law of cause and effect, not from Hashem or Elohim. Treat both effects, the suffering and the blessing, with joy and happiness. Also, do not test Hashem. Anytime we think we can blame Satan for something that is happening, we must also reckon with the fact that God is permitting it, which is what Job remarkably does. When Satan attacks Job's possessions, ruins them all, and then takes the life of all 10 of his children, we learn how terrible Satan can be. But Job says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And the writer says that Hashem did not sin in this statement. What we learn is that Satan can kill his kids, and yet Job can fall down, worship God, and say that God took his child. It's both and not either or. Then Satan comes and strikes Job with a disease. Boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And his wife says, "Curse God and die." And even though it says explicitly that Satan does this, Job responds to his wife, "Shall we receive good at the hand of Hashem and not receive evil?" And again, the writer says that Job did not sin with his lips. Some people say that Job was wrong to say these things. They think he shouldn't have attributed to God these boils or the death of his children. I respond that no, Job did speak the truth. I know this because if you go to the very last verse, it says, "Then came to him all his brothers and sisters, and all who had known him before, and ate bread with him in his house. And they showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that Hashem had brought upon him." Now that is the inspired writer talking, not Job in one of his funks. Therefore, it is really clear that Job was right to say, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. And shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not receive evil?" Because the writer at the end says that he was comforted for all the calamity, all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. So even though Satan is real and can do horrible things, he has to get permission. God is the governor of the universe. Satan does not have a parallel role to play with God. He has a subordinate role to play under God. How important is it for us to note that Job's calamities had absolutely no connection with his character? I don't think that's exactly right to say. I think absolutely is an overstatement. Because when you get to the end, it says, "And then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak." And then Job repents in dust and ashes. "Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." In other words, here's the way I would say it. He was called an upright and blameless man, and yet that doesn't mean that he was a sinlessly perfect man. I picture Job as a beaker of water. Job had been so worked upon by the grace of God that his life was pure. You could see right through the water. People looked at him and they saw a pure man, but there was a sediment of self-reliance and pride at the bottom. It wasn't huge and it wasn't damning, but it was there. When God shook Job, the sediment colored the water. And you find Job saying some terrible things about God in this book. God knew that it was there, and he knew that in shaking this godly, blameless man, there would arise some imperfection into his life, and that it would need to be purged. So the last thing is, therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. God is so pleased with Job that he makes the three friends go and ask Job to pray for them instead of them praying for themselves. God loves this man, Job. So we may rephrase the question. How important is it that we see that Job's suffering was not directly connected to any evil deed? And that is true. We should be able to say to people, I'm not looking for a specific sin in your life that God is punishing you for or chastising you for. God may be permitting this calamity to come into your life just to refine your very beautiful faith. Your faith is like gold, but it does have straw in it. And God loves you so much that he is now going to burn out a little more straw. Any suffering person I've ever talked to bears witness to the fact that they have seen more of God and have come to know and trust God more deeply than if their suffering had not come. And I am adding, it is important to understand the messages being given within the names used in the book of Job. Job is spelled Eov, spelled in Hebrew, Aleph Yud Vav Bet. In regular gematria and in ordinal gematria, the number value is both 19. In small gematria, the value is 10. The number 10 relates to the number of the Sephirot. The number 19 connects to Chava, Eve, which translates as the mother of all life. When permuted and parsed, the translation can be an island of eight, which represents a connection to the Sephirah of Bina in the world of Akudim, in the Das. This is the world where there is no communication between the Sephirot and leads to the vessel breaking. Another meaning is, and my father. All of these relate to the various explanations within the above commentaries. We have time. If you have any questions, please ask them. I'm going to read the Azamra commentary, but we will not start chapter 1 yet. We'll do that next week. Are there any questions before I start the Zamra commentary? The book of Job is unique in the entire Bible canon as being a complete work devoted to one question. Why do good people suffer? This question has proved to be a most difficult and at times insufferable challenge for many people's faith in the God of justice. The identity of Job himself and that of the author of the book bearing his name are both obscure in the extreme. The Talmud and Baba Basra brings no fewer than 8 different opinions as to the time period in which Job lived, at the time of the Exodus, in the time of the spies, in the time of Ezra, and in the days of the judges, in the time of Achashverosh, during the ascendancy of Sheba, during the ascendancy of the Chaldeans, in the time of Jacob. The same passage in the Talmud also brings another opinion that Job never existed at all, but is a purely allegorical figure. Perhaps this opinion comes to emphasize that it hardly matters when Job actually lived, or because in truth he is a universal figure, and the lessons to be learned from his book apply to all ages and to all people. They apply not only to the people of Israel, to whom most of the books of the Bible are primarily addressed, but to all humanity. Thus, although according to some of the rabbinic opinions cited in the Talmud, Job could have been an Israelite, the most widely accepted opinion is that he was a righteous Gentile. And it is precisely this that gives the book its universality. Job's own testimony about his upright path provides a shining ideal to which all mankind should aspire. When Job's companions come to comfort him in his suffering, they argue that suffering is sent to man because of his sins, and that Job could therefore not have been completely righteous. Yet Job himself was unwavering in his protestations of his own innocence. And most of the rabbis agreed that Job did not sin. It is his very innocence that makes him the exemplar of the suffering, the exemplar of the suffering tzaddik. Whereas had he sinned, it would have been distracted from his quest to unravel the mystery of why the righteous suffer. Many of the rabbis were of the opinion that the book of Job was written prophetically by Moses. We will stop here. Are there any questions? While you're unmuting your phone, at 3:00 West Coast time, we will have our next class based on advanced reincarnations. Shalom to all.
Shalom, thank you.
Shalom. Have a beautiful week.